Okay, so my computer's broken. So we don't have music. We don't have an intro. We have a show though, so
aren't Max shite though.
Just to make you feel a bit more comfortable, I suppose I'll try sing the theme song and you can come in at the right time, okay? So
Now's the right time.
Don't do it. Stop.
Hello everyone and welcome to Arsenal Blows Politics Part 2 post-election episode. Nobody messing. Never again. There is one thing I want to say about the election, right? Nothing to do with the results or any of that shit, right?
I know.
Does Mary Lou MacDonald remind you of Katie?
What?
How?
Like Katie plus 20.
How?
Right.
No, and also, thank you.
Like, not policies, but like, you know, yeah, like there's.
What policies the lined up with?
Like, no, it's Katie
is
when.
She
it,
the ma of Sinn Féin or
something? Yeah!
Yeah! It's like you when you're like. When you're right, when you're angry on Twitter and you're like doing that, dearest Josephine.
Somebody put out a tweet about Mary Lou MacDonald. This is what made me think, oh shit, it's Katie. It was like, Mary Lou MacDonald is that manager that's stern and doesn't take shit from anyone, but it's always very fair with her staff. And I was like, oh my God, Katie.
That is how I try to deal with my staff.
It actually is the same person. But how's everyone's day?
Here, Keane, actually, here's a question. What's that thing on the screen there?
It's a tape, actually. I'm not that uneducated. My dad had a tape deck in his car for years, even like well after it was a thing, so.
Just checking.
But I wonder, if my dad was an old fashioned like that, would I know what a tape is?
That's the depressing part of this show. Regularly, like, I work with people, I consider children, and like train them and stuff like that. And like, then I realise, I come in and do this podcast and realise they're older than you. Like, when I think about it, like, you're a disgustingly young person. And yet, you're in charge of this whole show. You're in charge of the next however long we record.
Obviously, the things happened in wrestling this week. I mean, Shayna ate Becky.
Did you see this?
To be the man, you have to eat the man. I respect that. You know what I mean?
You not
seen
this?
I've seen, like, obviously the memes and the gifs and, like, a short clip. Is she a vampire now?
No, she just ate her neck. She's just cannibal, like.
Yeah.
She's just cannibal. Just straight up.
Like, she attacked her. Like, imagine, like, so Becky beat Asuka in a match.
No, she got a knife and fork out. It was just like, got a plate, got a tissue and everything.
Well, and Becky was leaned over and she got a tablecloth. And
have you heard about that genuinely happened in Germany before?
What?
The guy who was a cannibal and he advertised online for someone to eat. And then this guy who had a fetish about being eaten replied. And they actually got together in your man's apartment. And like they cut off your man's penis first. And then they sautéed it with some onions. And then they sat down and they ate it together. And then...
That's really romantic.
And then he killed him in like a humane way, if that's the correct word. Like, and then, just basically feasted on him for ages.
Well, look, I mean,
couldn't be done for murder though, because your man had agreed to it apparently, and there was all this. I think he was done for manslaughter in the end. But
yes, you're right.
Yeah, it was a really weird.
That's gonna be the next thing now. It's gonna be like when we've solved all the issues. Now we're in like Sinn Féin's little like super liberal world where everything's gonna be fixed. That's the next thing that's gonna be like, can we legalize it? But do I not have the right to be eaten by another consenting adult?
But like apparently he left letters and all being like, I wanted this, please do not prosecute him and stuff. And then ironically the cannibal ended up being a vegetarian when he went to prison because eating your man put him off meat.
That's shit, like you've gone to prison for like a meal you didn't like.
Yeah.
That's shit, like
imagine you know, when you're with like death row, you're like, alright, so what's the last meal? It's like, could I have him? Like, no.
Now, there's a lad in Japan who's also a cannibal, right? And he murdered and ate someone. And then, for some reason, only served 7 years in prison. And then went on to become a celebrity in Japan. And wrote cookbooks. And done the talk show circuit. And is actually making a living from the fact that he's eaten someone. And I don't really know how we got to that stage in the conversation, but that's some interesting facts.
But it's a story you want to hear more of. Like, it is, like, if it's like, you know, like, if you're in there with a cannibal, like, if someone came in now to Buskers, we're in the like, the lobby, by the way, someone walked in and said, I'm a cannibal, our initial reaction would be like, bruh. But, like, after, within the first 5 minutes, we'd be like, all right, what did it taste like? You know what I mean? You're not saying I want to try it, but, like, you'd be like, I want to know more.
What if it's like that episode of It's Always Sunny, you know, where Frank convinces Dee and Charlie that they've had human meat, and then they're going to get the craving for it.
Yeah.
And, like, they haven't had human meat at all. He's just tricking them. But, like, yeah, I don't know. I still don't think I'd like to have a conversation with a cannibal.
That's Shayna Baszler's gimmick.
Shayna Baszler, yeah. That's how we got to
like,
it.
No, it was, like, literally, so Becky and Asuka had a match, and then straight afterwards, it's like Shayna came down, and imagine Shayna attacking Becky, and it's everything that you're thinking in your head, like Big Pop and stuff like that as well. It was a cool moment. And then, like, while she's got beaten, Becky's like on all fours, like in front of her. Shayna just leaned down and bit her neck, like she just bit her neck for a long time, and then like got back up. This is where the vampire stuff is coming in, because she stood back up and her mouth is filled with blood and she's just smiling and stuff like she loves it.
I don't see why that makes her a vampire. Again, she just likes eating people, like this.
I'd be into a Becky the Vampire Slayer, like, storyline.
I mean, they can get away if they want, you know.
What I thought was stupider was afterwards, why did Becky, like, they had a whole thing where, like, Becky had to go to the hospital to get medical assistance and stuff like that, but then, like, it was a bit stupid because they, like, had her then rob the ambulance and drive herself to hospital. And it's like, I don't know what point you think you're proving here, guys. I don't know, like,
stealing the ambulance.
Yeah, like, but then driving to hospital.
So,
like,
not back to the arena.
She did eventually drive back to the arena.
But she got treatment first.
Yeah.
That's responsible, because human bites are very, very dangerous.
It is, but, like, also as well, like, it's like, they're going to get there faster. They know the way. Do you know what I mean? She would have to stop in Google Maps near his hospital. Like, it's just like, I don't see how she's badass. It's just kind of stupid. Like, I was really into it. Yeah, I have to say.
Well,
I like the match. The match is great.
I won't be taking her out of my... actually, maybe I should before WrestleMania. It's not a bad idea. Taking Becky out. Becky is in my drafts, yeah?
I think I have Shayna.
Ha ha. Oh.
Yeah, in the fantasy. Yeah.
Hmm, interesting.
I have Charlotte.
Oh, what?
Of Charlotte.
Oh, that was gonna be my And anyway, look, I'll think. But speaking of drafts, I was trying to segue. Do any of you want to make any transfers?
Yes, Viking Raiders for the Usos.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm just gonna do one for the crack. Who's on my team? Fuck, this doc is long. Right, who's on my team?
Eric Rowan was on Raw this week. What are you doing, man?
Has Finn Balor been wrestling at all?
Not really. He does a lot of promos.
Right, let's change it.
But there's an NXT takeover this weekend.
Oh, and you'll probably win on that.
He's fighting Johnny Gargano. So it depends how you think that's going to go.
I don't like Johnny Gargano, so hopefully...
That's, again, like, that's not the game. It's like, who do you like more out of it? Will you win all the points?
Is Sheamus wrestling matches now, at least?
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, he's squashing people. All yeah, right, like, that actually paid off a little bit for him.
I don't know.
Okay. No. We'll plan it then for next week. So you're not less, like, I don't know. Yeah, cool. So that's we're all locked in. That's
locked
our
in. Right, Keith, you know what to do. All
so
right.
I tell you, loads of people gave out to me at the last Low Blows for having a shit fantasy team. And they were like, what, I can't remember who it was, but he's like, every week I shout at the podcast, make a change. And I was like, I'm really sorry, I'm not good at this.
But yeah, let's get into the questions. First, at Tristan M. Carroll, can we get an Ask Low Blows that's just something Keen wants to talk about for an hour this week? Yes. So, well, basically, this is all up to you. If you ask something Oscars related or movie related, you've lost me. But essentially, I'm cool with talking about anything, but I love The Ultimate Fighter. And lads, we got three Ultimate Fighter related questions / UFC related questions this week.
Did we?
Yeah, two of them were replies to me, so I have to go and find them because they're not in the
dock. Fair enough.
Yeah, so the first one.
Okay, we'll just get comfortable over here. Let you work away.
The first one is at AMT Rick. Dear Aslo Blows, which former Ultimate Fighter contestant do you think would make it in wrestling, and which one would you like to play FIFA against while eating onion rings? You're welcome, Keen. Thanks, AMT Rick. So basically, to answer your first question, who'd make it in wrestling from The Ultimate Fighter? Matt Riddle, Filthy Tom Lawler, Shayna Baszler, Jasmine Duke, and any. There's actually quite a lot of former wrestlers on there. It's interesting. Especially with Shane, you see them in a different light and all. It's interesting.
Matt Riddle was on The Ultimate Fighter.
He knocked the lad out so badly that the lad was just like for like half an hour. And at first, everyone was like, "Oh, what a knockout!" And then it descends into silence, and everybody's just kind of like, "Oh God."
He's still now.
Yeah, he's making noises that people don't normally make in a situation.
What? Who was his coach? Or what season?
Oh, fuck, I can't remember. It was season 7 or something like that.
I wouldn't have watched that and just not, like, I wouldn't have known he was Matt Riddle then. He wouldn't have been that guy off The Ultimate Fighter.
He was my age as well. He's only 21.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's really, really young. And that's the minimum age you can be, because you can't, because of the alcohol in the house and because of the drinking age in America. Like, yeah. Paige Van Sant and stuff was meant to be on it, but she was only 20, so they couldn't let her on. Interesting stuff. I love The Ultimate Fighter, as you can tell. I think... Chris Leben is an answer I'm going to throw out. Bisping is an answer I'm going to throw out. But overall, Matt Serra is my answer. I fucking love Matt Serra.
Yeah.
I think he's unbelievably charismatic. Katie, I know you're a big fan. He is...
I'm thinking about Michael Serra right now.
I do know who that is.
Not
but
the
no,
same.
Not the same.
Not
no.
No.
Okay.
Matt Serra was one of my favourite coaches, and we'll get to that. He... sorry, Katie. But he... like, he's so charismatic. I love listening to his voice and his accent. His accent is so strong. Was it? Is that New
he's
York?
The Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's so strong. He's like,
he does the Ultimate Fighter podcast, or he does the UFC podcast, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
He's very good.
And like, I remember, like, and he's just as well, he's like such a leader. Like, when they did a season 4, there was actually no coaches. It was lads who did fight in UFC, but their careers kind of fell to bits and they were given a second chance. So there was no leaders, and he made himself the default leaders because he was very supportive and pushed everyone along. And you'd hear him. It was so funny because, like, normally I never notice when I hear, like, another, like, a coach's corner in during their fight. But when whenever, like, Shoney Carter, who was on his team, would start fighting, you just hear him, "Come on, Shoney! Shoney, come on!" Like, I'd love to hear that in, like, WWE or something. I think he'd be so good. He's old as shit now, so you probably missed the boat. But, like, there was a time when he would have made it.
Be
for
a good
sure.
manager, though.
Yeah,
he was in the corner, man.
I still think he would be a good manager. So what was the second? Who would I like to eat Pringles with and
play FIFA?
Yeah. Right, couple of answers. Andy Ogle, I think, is one of the nicest lads. You probably don't remember him. Understandable, wasn't very good, but he's one of the nicest lads in UFC.
You don't have to be a good fighter to be sound.
No, actually, someone I didn't write down on this list, you just reminded me when you said not good fighter. Ross Point, was it Ross Point? I think his name was. Michael Bisping's friend. basically, he has a record in MMA now, I think, of 6 wins and 17 losses.
That's bad.
That is bad. For those of you that don't follow MMA, that's bad. It was at one point, not just losses, but like, I think it was like a 50-50 split when it was 6 and 16. Eight losses by knockout, 8 by submission. Like, it was
he
like,
hasn't even gone the distance.
No, it's bad. Like, but as a person, he was so cool, because it was like, at one point, someone got injured and somebody pulled out, and Dana was like, right, we need somebody to fill in and fight this person in the final. It was a really, really good opportunity, but all the fighters were like, no, I'm CTE, like, I'm just battered to bits, I don't want to step in on like 2 days' notice. And he's like, what do you mean you don't want to step in on 2 days' notice with brain damage? Do you not see the opportunity I'm giving you? But Ross comes in and he's like, again, battered to bits, and he's just like, yeah, I'll do it. It's not even his weight class, it's like the weight class above him, and it's like, will you do it? Yeah. Be funny, like.
Nice.
So him, Jonathan Brookins, again, probably the least successful winner of the show.
I remember him.
You remember Jonathan Brookins? That is not somebody I expected you to remember.
Yeah.
He won it, was relatively unsuccessful afterwards, I think. He's not a name you'd remember, but he was very quiet. He would just kind of go out into the garden by himself and write and just sort of relax. And I respect that, because in a house full of, like, alpha dogs drinking and acting mad, he was the one kind of person who kind of kept to himself, and, you know, he had his eyes on the prize, and he wasn't, you know, he didn't, no drama, no bullshit, just kind of went, and he was still an interesting enough character for me to remember him. So I, overall, Jonathan Brookins. Artem Lobov.
No.
Fuck yeah, man. Right. Russian Hammer. Absolute beast. I love Artem. I think like, when Artem beat Pauly Mallet, I can't say his surname.
Manny Nanny.
Yeah, thanks. That's roughly it. In the bare knuckle boxing, I popped so hard, man. I love Artem. I think he's fucking gas.
Is there 29 seasons of this?
28, I think. Unless they've just made one.
Holy shit.
I've seen 25. I missed. The show gets a bit shit as it goes on.
Yeah, it
Hang
is.
On.
It's The Simpsons.
What is it? What is it?
So Ultimate Fighter is tough enough with UFC.
Okay, but they have to go through this to get into UFC?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what happens, again, like Tough Enough, You don't have to win it to get signed. Like, if you do well, they'll be like, right, this lad's good.
Which came first, UFC or Ultimate Fighter, or did they come together?
UFC came first, but it was in trouble. And then the Ultimate Fighter came around, and after season one, basically saved the company because it humanized the fighters. It was very,
because it was a reality TV show.
And you know what? As far as reality shows go, you know, you see Love Island and it's huge, and I'm a Celebrity and it's huge. Man, The Ultimate Fighter, even if you don't like MMA, is much better than all of these reality shows.
See, I'd probably like it.
That's it. It was great, like, because it's putting a bunch of alpha males in a house.
And they can't fight either in the house. That's the rule.
Yeah. So, like, but they're building up and training to fight each other. And they have to make friends, but they're all competing, and then they're punching each other in the face at the end of it, so you get actual conflict, like. Huh. So it is a solid reality TV.
So
they just played it out.
The problem is they basically made it. At the start, it was mad fuckers, like, in a house, you know, starting shit, like, ramming their heads through the wall and, like, all sorts of, like, mad shit. But then, like, by the time you get to season, like, 20, it's kind of, like, it's more, like, professional, you know. These are professional athletes training and living together.
And what did they do about the different weight classes?
They'd all either be the same weight class, or there'd be two different weight classes and it'd be two winners.
Okay.
So, like, they did, like, men and women in certain seasons, but the men and women didn't fight each other.
The women's one was very good. Because it came at the right time. It was just after Ronda Rousey got signed. And if you're going to get into it, you'd appreciate that one as well, because it's a very, like, it's a very girl power thing. For you, did it totally appeal to the feminist icon in you. but no, it is, because it's very, like, I remember getting emotional at one of them, because you do get invested into the characters and stuff like that. But then you're like, I was very at the start, I'm like, I straight up admit it, I was like, you know what, like, I'm all for it and all, but I feel a bit uncomfortable seeing, like,
bit
women.
Sexist.
it was. But then it was during that I'm like, oh no, like, these people care about Shayna Baszler's in it.
Yeah, it turned the viewers, you know, like, casual fans. And
yeah.
Stuff. And that's who The Ultimate Fighter is for as well. It's great for getting into MMA, because it kind of, especially if you watch from season one, it introduces you to it, and it's I really like it.
It achieved what they wanted them to achieve.
And the women's seasons are very good as well, because a lot of the women who are in those seasons are still in UFC now.
Yeah.
So, like, if you watch, like, you know, the season with Joanne Calderwood, for example, like, a lot of those fighters are still in the rankings now. So
they built the division through the Ultimate Fighter. So, you know, like, because of that, you know all the women's fighters in UFC a lot better than you do a lot of the random lads, because they are just, like, random good fighters who got signed.
Here's a question. Here's one season. Team American Top Team versus the Black Zillions.
What a fucking season. Sorry, go on.
I just don't really understand.
Right, you picked a weird season. That was a really, really, really different season. They did something completely...
What's the Black Zillion?
That's a gym. An MMA gym. And so it'd be like Fight Factory and School of Irish Wrestling, but if they were, like, MMA camps.
Okay.
Because they did, and it was the two best, so it was, like, American Top Team against the Black Zillions. And, it was so cool, because... I don't even want to spoil it, but basically somebody on American Top Team saved that season from being absolute shit, because he knocked out, like, three people, and No, that was Haider Hassan. He's not a big name now. I think he's in Bellator or something. Right. Where's my notes gone?
That's one Ultimate Fighter question.
I'm so sorry. I just love this show so much. Funny how you speak of the women's seasons. My second last of who I'd hang out with, Aisling Daly. I love Aisling Daly.
Big bash ass, is it?
Yeah, one of my favourite contestants ever on Ultimate Fighter. She was just bang on. And then my last one, Shoni Carter. Do you know Shoni Carter? Oh man, you'd love him. So basically, in a house where everyone's acting mad, Shoni Carter was mad, but he didn't act mad. Like, he wasn't like, oh, look at me, oh. He would just do shit because he was weird. So, like, he fucking, like, at one point filled up the swimming pool with as many plastic bottles he could find because he wanted to build a raft. And all the other fighters were like, what the fuck, Shoni? We need this fucking pool. It's disgusting, bro. And, like, he was like, I just want a raft. And, like, he couldn't sleep. So he had, like, insomnia or something. So he'd be playing pool at 3 in the morning just because he genuinely couldn't sleep. And he'd be like, what the fuck, Shoni? Why are you playing pool at 3 in the morning? He's like, can't sleep. He's just playing pool by himself. He was sad. He'd be like, he'd walk in, like, Shoni, what are you doing? And he's, like, spraying the wall, like, just colouring it in. It's like, he was just so cute. Just all the little things he did, he made himself different.
You want that person in your house, though?
In his house, okay, BB. You know what I mean? He's so cool. But yeah, that's question two. So Tony then asked, oh, sorry. Tristan, it wasn't really a question, but he said he wants me to talk about the deaf fighter who had to leave through injury, right? Matt Hamill. So John Jones is like the Brock Lesnar of MMA. Even though Brock Lesnar was in MMA, John Jones is Brock Lesnar of MMA. But he has one loss on his record. And the loss, because I'm telling this to Katie, because I know, like, a lot of you might not know, whatever, don't follow it. But basically, John Jones hit Matt Hamill, that's his name, with an illegal 12-6 elbow, like a full-on elbow, top to bottom, to his head. And it, like, it completely, like, killed him in the ring. He's just, like dead, yeah. And the ref pulled John off, was like, that's fucking illegal. And turns to Matt Hamill, a deaf fighter, and is like, are you all right? Matt Hamill, being deaf, didn't answer because he's deaf and can't hear him. and the ref's like, oh my god, he's fucked. DQ, Matt Hamill gets the victory. I'm like, so Matt Hamill, and he's too humble, he's too nice to accept it, but he has the only victory over John Jones, and I always say that it's because he headbutted him in the elbow, solid, and John Jones couldn't take it anymore. That's my favourite MMA piece of trivia. I think it's really cool.
Nice.
So yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Tristan. Tony asks, seeing as you're the host, which Ultimate Fighter coaches were the best, and who would you pick to host a new series of it, right? So, I love GSP.
Yes, so good.
GSP was on it with Josh Koscheck, who coincidentally my least favorite coach. I put him under Matthews. He is my least fucking favorite by far.
But was like, okay, so for me, I watched that when it was airing.
Yeah.
And like that was, it was building up to a fight. Like, so the coaches always fought at the end of the Ultimate Fighter as well. So they build tension between themselves. So it's promoting like loads of different fights. It's really good for business, like, when it worked. But like, Koscheck was like a really good heel in that.
It was pure kayfabe.
Annoying because you just wanted to see GSP. GSP's real, like, he's what they want MMA fighters to be rather than McGregor. He's like a master of his discipline, but he's also like a real enigmatic person, a fascinating person. Like, he genuinely believes he got abducted by aliens, like, something like that. But he's also real, like, a master of his discipline, the type who meditates, like, kind of a real, like, Bruce Lee type, do you know what I mean? And then, like, even when he's in the octagon, he can pick people apart, he has a game plan. Sorry, I'm just totally taking your story here.
No, this is cool, yeah.
But Koscheck was, like, such a bit like badass heel, and GSP was so classy about it. Like, GSP's French Canadian, to explain the accent if people don't know. But like,
he's gonna,
oh god, here
Koscheck was just like, yeah, I'm gonna fuck you up, and then GSP's like, I guess we'll see in the ring.
It didn't sound like that,
but
for those of you
also from South Africa.
that was not that, because if that was that, then that was racist, and that was not that. But like, what was it? So like, yeah, it was just GSP was like chilled, but you're like, he is gonna fuck him up, because Josh Koscheck is a mid-carder for life. He's a charismatic mid-carder, and GSP is one of the best ever. And then like, GSP, this is how like good he is. He just picks a random strategy and he beat him with a jab. No one had ever seen a fight end with a jab, and GSP just jabbed him to obliteration. It's like just holding someone small at arm's reach for like 5 rounds and beat the piss out of him. Like, Koscheck's face was messed up, but jabs aren't supposed to do that. Jabs are to set up like haymakers and proper straight rights and stuff like that. But like, GSP just literally held him off and kept jabbing him, like, and Koscheck couldn't get near him.
See, I never saw the fight because I was watching, like, obviously, like, in the last few months. Yeah, so there was no, I missed the payoff for this. I just saw Josh Koscheck bullying the medic, and I was like, man, fuck this lad, do you know what I mean? But GSP, basically, the reason I loved him, because it was kind of like, it was a real, for me, it was like a genuine like lesson about how to like control your temper, and kind of, if you let someone else anger you, it was kind of like, there, it was really, I'm butchering it, but he, yeah, there's less.
It's like an
there.
Anti-bullying message.
But it was like, really, yeah.
I'm going to show him, that's what it was, he was getting bullied, like, Koscheck was trying to bully him and getting upset, and he's just like, he wasn't rising to it, like, he wasn't like getting in the back and forth, he was just like, I'll just remember this. And then he did. He beat the fuck out of him. He humiliated him in the fight. It was amazing.
Four more. Matt Serra, already mentioned. So, 3 more. I loved the McGregor favor season. I know McGregor's all popular right now. But because I know Tony hates McGregor. He's the one who asked this. But this is early McGregor. And this is also, McGregor is the most honest coach they've ever had in the Ultimate Fighter. He came in, because all the other coaches are like, come on guys, we gotta be a team. Whereas he's like, yeah, I mean, work together to achieve your individual goals, but don't get attached, because you're gonna end up fighting each other. And what happened? Like every other season, they ended up fighting each other because they all did well. And he came in and he did his job, and he, you know, and also him in favor was a great dynamic, because like you said, this show was used to promote fights between the coaches, but this season they weren't fighting, but you know, it was just two lads having bands flagging each other off. And he also called Uriah Faber's teammate, TJ Dillashaw, becoming a snake. And this unfolds in later seasons. It's really, really good.
Yeah. He basically, McGregor, there was TJ Dillashaw was like really close mates with Uriah Faber. But he'd started to go training with, again, well, no, like it'd be like he started to go training with, say, Fight Factory in a rival school or something like that, but they hated each other. Say they were in the north.
Yeah.
But like, say they hated each other and you couldn't train with one or the other. He'd started to sneakily go off and train with the other school. And McGregor just came in, being McGregor, and was just like, he's a fucking snake, like, he's a snake. He is training with your enemies. What are you going to do about it? And the lads had to be like, oh, no, we're still cool and stuff like that. But then...
the following season.
Like, he tore them apart. Like, you see McGregor literally tear that team apart. Like, he destroyed them. And that's where it started, because they were just pretending it didn't happen. Because it was like a friendship coming apart. But you could see it happen, like, week by week by week. He was just getting in their heads. Like, it was. Like, he McGregor is built for this stuff. Like, I don't like the guy. I've been on record. I've got shit on Twitter for it. But, like, it was entertaining.
That's everything I was going to say about that one. But then Michael Bisping.
Yes.
I loved as a coach. People call Michael Bisping an arsehole. I watched The Ultimate Fighter then to see why people thought he was an arsehole. Still love him. Still love him. Love him the bits. And unlike McGregor, he doesn't have he's not as much of a shithead outside the ring, so yeah. I can say I don't care if Bisping's an arsehole in the world of MMA. I love him two bits. I'm delighted he got a world title run. And like his Ultimate Fighter seasons, he was a coach several times. He was in the UK USA one.
And he won it as well.
And he was a contestant as well. It was his show. I love him to bits. I thought he was fucking gas.
He gets that, like, it's a TV show and he has to be entertaining.
And I loved.
And you said that about McGregor at the start, and then you learned that, oh no, that's why he's like, you know what I mean? And that's why we went against McGregor. But like, Bisping is, he's that.
And I loved how in the UK versus USA season, how the Americans were so, like, American, and they were like, go team, and he's just like, what the fuck is that? You know what I mean? Like, it's the funniest. But my number one coach, by fucking far, by far, I'm so sorry, but by far, Rampage Jackson. Yes. Everything he said made me laugh so fucking hard. Everything. I think the season with him and Rashad Evans is pretty my favorite.
Yeah.
Where, like, there was a part where Rashad is giving a really... basically, their fighters are about to scrap in the big fight at the end of the episode. And Rashad's like, you can do this. You can beat this guy. You have what it takes. And then it would cut from his speech to Rampage's speech, back and forth. And it was like, you can do this. Believe in your dreams. And Rampage's like, this man has titties. You're going to lose this man. This man has titties. Look at the fuck around. I was like, and I go back to Rashad, like, everything you work for, titties. You let titties beat your ass. It's like, everything Rampage said was absolute gold. And I love him to bits. Like, he's just so funny. I love him. Yeah. And that's that one final question, not coach related, comes from Justy_Fishhook.
Ah, nice.
Let me see if I can find it. It was a very thought-provoking question.
I haven't seen this.
Why does nobody simply climb out of the cage to win? Basically, MMA fighters don't have the same fight IQ that wrestlers have.
Right.
So, back in the early days, if somebody used a move for the first time and innovated, everyone would then copy that move, and that's how MMA evolved before our eyes. And it still happens today. Basically, nobody's thought of escaping the cage yet. When the first fighter does it, then you'll see everybody start to do it after that. But right now, we haven't hit that point yet, so don't tell them. I really enjoy the fights. I don't want to have to deal with the escape the cage drill. But or dives off the top. You only see fighters do it after when they're celebrating, but I think that'd be more effective if they did. Like,
get them down, like, give them a body slam.
Yeah.
And then just go, like, look up to the top of the octagon.
Give, like,
and then the crowd heave, and it's like, he has to do it. He follows the crowd.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a Justin Gaethje moonsault up top. It's going to be great. I think those are all the MMA questions, so I'm very sorry to everyone.
Welcome to the show, Katie. How are you?
The only thing I know about MMA is that episode of Friends where Monica's boyfriend decides to go in the cage.
Fight started. Fight's over. That's how I think most of us, like, learned about UFC.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
You're a UFC vet. You saw CM Punk's fights, do you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very good. That's Nicholas' only... exposure to UFC was CM Punk's fight, and a lot of people were like that, a lot of wrestling fans.
Both the fights I stayed up to watch.
The first one's actually alright, to be honest. Not from his perspective, but like a quick submission in the first round's a good fight. It depends what you're into.
It's a good fight if you're like, I don't want to stay up till 6 a.m. Like, it is. From that standpoint, it's 5 stars.
It's a good... You see, I love first round knockouts and submissions. Even like if the whole show is like 30 second fights, that's good for me. Like, I'll take that. But the second fight was the shit. That is genuinely, pound for pound, worst MMA fight of all time. Sorry, Tony also asked, who would I want to see as coaches in a future season? Colby Covington and Mike Chiesa, I think, would be great. or something with like a fighter I don't know that well as a person, like Izzy Adesanya or one of them.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Or Volkanovski as well. I don't know too much about him. Anyway, sorry. Where are we now? Two questions from @BrianAmaniac. Not MMA related. Why did I call you Amy?
I've never seen you this passionate and excited.
Yeah.
Man, because
let him go.
I love talking about UFC.
This is the Tristan, you got your wish, like.
I stopped watching MMA for a year, and then over the last few months I got back into it again, and I love it. And I'm going straight in, like.
Nice.
@BrianAmaniac. What is the best use of the word fuck in wrestling? Either in a promo, for example, my name is Drew Galloway and Joseph Connors, you are fucked. What a promo. Or in the name of a wrestling move, for example, close your eyes and count to fuck.
Oh, I don't know. I forgot about this because he sent this in a few weeks ago. And I was like, I'm going to have a think about that. That was weeks ago.
I have an answer. Do you have an answer?
I don't like swearing in wrestling.
Yeah, neither do I. But that was my answer.
I hate people swearing in promos because I think it's just cheapy. And I think it's like, heels especially on an over 18 show resort to just swearing. And it just means their promos have usually no content or no reason to be saying it. So it's a bit of a pet peeve of mine. I hate people just randomly swearing in promos.
Okay, I was joking. I love when people swear in promos.
What about when it's like... In WWE, if they build it up where it's like, this is a WrestleMania feud, and they're like, get out of my face, bitch. But it's like, it's supposed to hit you.
But it doesn't, because like, that's, I don't know, it just sounds forced.
Yeah.
Like, I can't actually think of a good example where swearing elevated a wrestling promo, but it's only wrestling. Like, I've been watching this show called The Ranch recently on Netflix, and it's a sitcom, and it's got like Ashton Kutcher and Danny Masterson and stuff from that 70s show, but they swear in it. And it's like, it feels much more realistic because, like, they swear where we would swear in normal conversation.
Yeah.
That's what I feel about wrestling. Like, that's why, that's one of the reasons I think NXT UK is kind of flopped, because it doesn't feel, it all feels less genuine now because there's no swearing. It's like, I'm going to kick your butt. It's like, why would you say that? Like, would you say that in a scrap? You know what
but
I mean?
But, like, a lot of wrestlers go the opposite way, and it sounds forced when they swear in promos then as well.
What I love is when a PG promotion has like 118 show and they're like, yeah, that's fucking, or no, when like a new promotion debuts.
Fuck.
It's like, for fuck's sake. You know what I mean? Like, but I find that funny. I'm going to say when Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon were in the ring, I think it was before Shane McMahon was given a Hell in a Cell match with Undertaker.
Right.
And he just, I don't even think, was this on TV? Because I remember, like, I can only picture it in like fan footage in my head. I don't know if it was on TV or not, but he just goes, I'm going to give you a fucking beating. And everyone was like, whoa, what? It was unnecessary, but it was funny.
Yeah, that's probably effective because that's like colloquial. It fits there, like, you know.
Also, Scott Steiner saying, give me a fucking mic.
Yeah, because natural. Like,
it's just funny.
A lot of the time it's very forced, so it's not my favourite thing.
All right. Yeah, no, I do. Fair. I prefer swearing, but I can understand where you're coming from. Okay, lads, a question that's absolutely nothing that I'm interested in, but... I found out that a former NFL player just won an Oscar, Best Animated Short. So which wrestler, current or former, is most likely to win an Oscar? Actually, this is a better question than I thought
that's
it was.
Yeah.
I just saw Oscar. No, I saw Oscars and I was like, ugh. I could picture AJ Lee or Titus O'Neil winning one, right? I have an answer, but I want to see you use pick
AJ's
first.
AJ Lee's a very good show because like, she's going out, like she wrote a book there a while ago about her bipolar and stuff like that.
Wait,
so.
How about, right, do you have an answer in your head of a wrestler?
Yes.
Okay, how about at the count of three, we'll say it at the same time, and we'll see if it's the same one. All right. If you don't have one, that's all right.
Okay, let's do it. I think we will.
Okay, I think we got this, right? One, two, three.
Tyler Cannon.
Okay. Slightly different answers there.
I didn't even hear what you guys said.
I heard both of you guys.
Yeah.
Mine was Tyler Rex. Mine
was Kevin Nash.
Okay,
I think yours might win,
well,
actually.
Well, that's because, you know, it's a travesty he hasn't won one before.
Or Magic Mike.
Yeah, or The Longest Yard, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Because they give Oscars for that.
No, but the Oscars were bullshit this year. I'm usually a big Oscars fan.
Really?
Yeah, like, they just snubbed loads of really, really good directors and films and everything else. And like, I've just been reading loads of articles about the lack of diversity. Like, there was one black nominee in all the major categories. There was like no women nominated for best director, even though Greta Gerwig's film had been nominated for best film. And I don't understand how you can have a best film but she's not considered a best director.
Yeah,
I don't know, it just rubbed me up the wrong way. And then I watched the actual ceremony, because the Oscars is always accused of this. And then every performer that they had was black or a woman. So yeah, it's like, guys, you aren't good enough to nominate, but here we go, we'll be on stage for the diversity thing.
Yeah.
And then the film that won all the big awards is a Korean film.
Now,
which apparently is very good.
I watched that. That, like, genuinely, I watched that on Sunday night after Fight Factory, because I knew the Oscars was coming up, and I always watch all the films coming up to it.
Mm.
And I was like, I heard that was good, and I hadn't heard anything about it, and I love movies like that, so I was like, I just want to... And by the way, I won't say anything about it, because do watch it, and... Don't look into anything before, because it just takes.
I've already googled the synopsis.
I know.
Right. Good job, Katie. Good job.
But it's like, it might be one of my top 10 movies of all time.
Okay, so I don't doubt it's a worthy winner, but because of everything else to do with the Oscars, it was just kind of like.
Backslappy.
Yeah, I was like yeah.
1917 for me should have won Best Direction, because like that was an achievement in direction. Like doing the one shot take and how legitimate it came across and how little you thought of it. It like I heard about it and I'm like, that's gonna feel gimmicky. It's gonna be one of those things that doesn't have much of a plot and I don't get into it because they're focused on the cool gimmick that they're doing. But I didn't notice it until afterwards and I'm like, oh fuck, they did do one like continuous shot, like that's class, and it was like night to day and stuff. So like I think that should have won Best Direction and stuff. Like yeah, I get it. It was like a backslappy thing where it's like, look at us.
Yeah.
But it was actually the first foreign language movie. But also as well, it's the first Best Picture ever to not have an actor nominated.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's like...
But that was an ensemble piece, wasn't it? More so?
There were like starring roles in it. Like, because there's like... I watched Marriage Story there on Saturday as well. And what's her name? Laura Dern won Best Supporting Actress. She had about like 4 lines in it.
Yeah.
And it's like there was like 3 or 4 supporting actresses that were fucking A1 in that movie.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, it's weird. Like, so yeah, the Oscars is weird though. You can't put too much attention to it. Anyway, wrestler wise, Kevin Nash you're going with?
Yeah.
Tyler Rex.
Bull Buchanan is a genuine. I don't have any.
Thanks for the questions. here we go then. At Rian 384-69-230. as it was the launch of the XFL this past weekend, go Hawks, and as the big talking point was the alternative and more fun rules as opposed to NFL, it got me thinking, if you guys had to change the rules to one sport to make it more fun, what sport, how and why?
Do you know the way polo is played on horses? I genuinely thought that water polo was still played on horses.
You may have sold me.
For the longest time, and I said it to Phil one day, and he just went really quiet, and he went, do you think they put the horses in the water? And I was like, I genuinely thought the horses were in pools with, like, water up to their
with
knees.
With a swimming hat.
And then,
like, what do you call it? What are the things you put on?
Armbands.
Armbands, like, on their hooves for them.
And what I explained to Phil, what I thought the rules of water polo was essentially people on horseback in the water playing volleyball. And he was like, you were so far off the mark. Like, but it was volleyball with the little sticks, so kind of like baseball, but with mallets.
That sounds like a fun thing. The only problem with that sport would be after that, it had turned horrible because the horses couldn't get out of the water.
Oh, no, there'd be a little
ramp. Only thing they could do would be to shoot the horses afterwards.
No, like no, you don't go from shooting the horses. You walk them up and down.
That's what they do in horse racing. When they fall, they have to put them down.
Why would the horses fall?
Because they can't swim, they're in water.
No, but they're in water up to their knees.
Right, okay,
like they're
so
just
it's shallow.
They're partially submerged.
So like
they're not like underwater like, wearing fucking snorkels. Yeah,
that's what I imagined when you described it.
Which is really struggling.
No,
it's very inhumane sport.
Now you're being ridiculous. I mean like they're standing in a shallow pool, like just kind of up to the nips or something.
Yeah.
The horses
have nipples.
Yeah,
that's
how else would they feed?
Yeah.
How would they feed their young? I don't know.
I don't know the animals, like, I don't know.
I've heard about if horses have nipples before, it's just the first
time. I'm presuming they do, but they don't have udders, so I presume they've got nipples.
Why are you looking at me? Like, what the fuck am I
You're a host.
Oh, what's your rule that you change? I love this question.
I can't top that because...
Oh, man, I love this, right? First of all, full contact golf. Class, right? Don't even need to elaborate. Unreal. thinking, yeah, water sport, like swimming, but like you just take out the water, but they still have to swim. It's not like running, you have to swim, but it's no water.
So you're describing like gymnastics.
Is that what you mean?
Like
what?
Aerobics, like ribbon.
No, you swim, no,
you have to like.
No, it's swimming. Just, it's swimming. There's no water.
The carpet burn would be ridiculous. It just come out like purely red, like.
And I'm glad to tie my last suggestion back into MMA just for your pleasure, Katie. I think we should have. So basically, all the fighters. I basically want USADA to ignore one division. I want a division where fighters can take as many steroids as they want. It's not just allowed, yeah. It's encouraged. It's the juiced off your fucking head division, where you get all these lads on all sorts of drugs. Every other division, it stays as it is. USADA test everyone, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. But then all the John Joneses, all them, they Vitor Belfort, yeah. They all get run loose in this one division, and there's no judgments, it's just juice off your fucking head division. And yeah,
I've got one. You give me an idea. I want to see an MMA Royal Rumble.
Man, wrestling and MMA, there's so much room for crossover.
Oh my god, an
tag
MMA
team
Royal
MMA
Rumble.
Like literally tag team MMA is a thing they could do.
How would you do an MMA Royal Rumble though? 30 people in the ring, like they come down, entrances as well, do you know what I mean? Like surprise entrances. Oh my
Bellator
god,
Bellator would do that way better than UFC. They've got their titan trolls.
What do you do? Like you can't throw them over the top rope, like it's not realistic. So what do they have to do? It's
knockout or submission.
A gauntlet would be good.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's a deadly idea. Yeah. That's a deadly idea.
There's so much. Just apply wrestling rules to MMA.
Man, there's so much room for crossover.
Just apply wrestling rules to everything.
Yeah, actually. I fucking love that question, really.
Actually, golf Royal Rumble. It's like this is the ball on the tee. It's like. And then you just hear Irish music and Paul Carty comes out. Hello.
That's like on the putt as well. It's like a really piss easy shot. He just runs down and takes it. Yeah. That'd be so cool. Man. I love that.
Surprise entrance
by every sport. At Sean McSowran, should people have to take a breathalyzer test to use Twitter on or after a night out? I think I personally should.
Yeah, I remember coming up with an app and there was a few features on it, and one was like that where it's like when you're going drinking, it's like after 11, cut me off from social media. Another one was, this is a random one, where you just want to blitz someone from your phone. You just want to block them on, you just pick one contact and then like you just block them on everything, like social media, like they can't get onto your phone and stuff like that. But yeah, that was, yeah, definitely, like I think there is apps for that.
This is the plot of The Internship. Have you ever seen that film with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson where they?
I think I have.
Yeah, have
I've
you?
Seen a movie.
Have you?
Oh my god! I think I saw it at my friend's house. Yeah.
It's brilliant. So like they're just these two owl lads who sell watches, and then obviously that company goes under, so they become interns in Google, but they don't know anything about technology. But they develop an app where you can't use social media when you're drunk, and that's the plot of the film.
Yeah. Oh, I do remember
it's
that.
Really good.
Yeah. Man, I can't believe I saw a movie. Let's write that down. That's cool.
Did you get any of the drunk tweets? I think we got one. I can't remember what he said.
What drunk tweets?
Oh, from Royal Rumble?
No, this is Sean.
This is coming from a place of reality.
No, he sent out a bunch of drunk tweets.
No, I don't think
that's where this is coming from.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Or maybe he sent me a drunken tweet of support. I thought he was sober. Now I'm really sad.
You're my favourite YouTuber.
Yeah, I'm just the person who'll take that to heart. If it's like from a completely drunk person that's just like no idea what they're saying, they'll be like, you're my favourite. I'm like, thank you so much, man. That means the world to me. They'll wake up next morning. Like, who the fuck's that?
He's on the wall, like, Sean's
yeah. Should you take a breathalyzer? Maybe. I don't know. I
find my worst tweets are when I'm angry, not when I'm drunk.
Yeah, I think there should be an emotional test. Yeah,
I've gotten quite good at it, but I used to be very bad for drunken social media. Like, and I haven't done it in ages, but like now I wake up, like I still get the fear in the morning. Like if I've been really like work always does it to me, because like you go points after work and it's like start at 5 o'clock,
yeah,
and then you're like holy shit, I didn't get home till 3, and then you wake up the next morning, you're like Instagram, like stories and this is, and like Twitter and everything, you're like, yeah, oh my god, thank fuck. Mm-hmm. I used to be very bad for it though, and it was like I remember. No, I don't want to tell that story in the podcast. It's too embarrassing. Oh, God, do I?
Well, you can't tease it and then not do it.
I remember. This is like when I was like 19 or something like that. And none of the people are like
in your life anymore?
Yeah. Right. So, and they won't listen, so I can tell it. I remember one day I was in work and there was a girl who, like, I used to write, like, I used to, like, I proper problems with drink when I was like 19, 20. I just binged. I never learned how to drink properly. Like, so I used to like go hot, like right when I was drunk, because it came out with some mad shit. But like the odd time it had come out online in like a Bebo blog or something like that, and it was mad cringe. Like, yeah. But like I remember once before, a girl in work had been telling me how she was like in a kind of like it was a bad relationship. We'll put it that way. You know what I mean? And then like I wrote a Bebo blog where like I used to like wake up on the keyboard, if that makes sense, like 7 o'clock in the morning. But I wrote a thing about like, and it was very clearly like, if she'd read it, it was like, this is to you. You know what I mean? It's like how to get out of a bad relationship and stuff like that. And it was just like, I don't know. But I think I woke up at like 7 o'clock. I couldn't remember when I wrote it. So I was like, I think I'm going to get away with this. Delete.
And this is before screenshots.
Yeah. So I think I was safe. But like I woke up and it's like, that can only be about, like, they're super specific things that only she could only relate to her. It was obviously on my mind, though, like, yeah, it was fucked up.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes, but, I think.
Yes, the clear okay, answer. Fair. Yeah. Thanks for the question. Sean, at L Flacco Blanco.
Oh, I like this one.
If Shayna Baszler is now a vampire, what other wrestlers could do with a monster revamp? I think EC3. What's he doing?
He's doing weird, like, right-wing videos and stuff now.
Really?
He's gone very Trumpy, like, I think.
Oh, in real life? Like.
Yeah, like, well, I don't know if it's for a gimmick or something. He's gone very strange on social media, though.
That's disappointing.
I haven't seen him in months.
I felt Christ and stuff like that. Well, he was injured. And this is him, like, trying to do... Now, we started a kind of podcast-type thing where he does it with, like... It sounds decent. Like, it's, like, him and Drake Maverick and Braun Strowman was on it a couple of times.
Where's Drake Maverick? I watched Raw yesterday. I didn't see him.
He's not on it a lot now. He kind of did a storyline and that's that.
Ah, that's bollocks. He's too good to be ignored.
Yeah, true.
Way too good.
Yeah. But, like, what was it? Yeah, EC3 is, like, what, Frankenstein or something?
I don't know. It's just because whatever role you put EC3 in, I feel he's charismatic enough to pull it off.
But, like, he couldn't pull off being EC3 in WWE.
Because there was other EC3s already there. You know what I mean? If you give him something different, something mad, something weird, he'll pull it off.
Do you remember his entrance? Like, I know there's nothing to do with what you asked, Robbie, but like...
EC with the letters on the
screen. Yeah, and he just had to point at them. And yeah. Then by the end of it, he just get bored.
No, I think... Or Eric Young is another one. I don't know why Eric Young is just...
It's
Eric
got the
Young.
Voice.
What?
He's got the voice. For like a Jekyll and Hyde type character.
He can do anything.
In Impact, he was unbelievably good monster. But the thing is, if someone's a monster, they have to win to be credible. Do you know what I mean? A monster that loses the whole time is kind of pointless. Would you give Eric Young wins over a lot of other people on that roster?
Eric Rowan would be good at like something like that.
He's already a monster. That doesn't count.
But like, no, he's not. He's a tortured soul. Like, that kind of deal. That's more his thing.
I mean, if you want to make him scarier, go for it. Yeah, I'm up for that.
Like,
I just don't want to give Eric Rowan as my answer because it's too easy.
I think he means it in terms of like genuine monsters. Like,
do you remember his horror movie vignettes he did like years ago when he got injured the first time? That was so cool, man. If they did something
YouTube,
like that,
it's only
they never aired it. It was only on YouTube and it was so so good. This is why I love him. This is literally, I think that's kind of what started it. But Eric Rowan. Yeah, so there's some good answers. Do you have any, KE?
Not really.
Great, thanks for your contribution. I'm sure El Flaco Blanco is buzzing. I'm sorry Kate couldn't answer your question.
Sorry.
But thanks nonetheless. At Kendo CCFC, with Vince rerunning the XFL, who and how would you see an alternate GAA League of Ireland run by an Irish wrestling head honcho? Some example team names, Greystone Gardeners, Dublin Jacks, Rebel Langers, etc. Right. First of all, I don't think you can ever do an XFL version of Ga, because Ga's fucking mad. And we don't realise Ga's mad because we're so accustomed to it.
Yeah.
Have you ever shown a foreigner Gaelic football or hurling?
Oh, hurling, yeah. And they're like, what the fuck is this? Why are they not wearing protective gear?
Well, one of my favourite YouTubers is a British lad, right? And he's put up a video of him watching fucking Gaelic football. And he was like, what is this? What is this? It's like all these different sports mixed into one. And he's like, so, like, it's in his hands. And he just kicks it into the goal. It's like, what are you doing? It's amazing. It's fucking gas. Like, so I don't think you could XFL that. XFL League of Ireland, maybe. But prison rules.
What team names do we have?
Wicklow the Warriors.
The Roscommon rather isolated individuals. I don't know. We're not that sort of country.
The
be
Ballina
like.
Banshees or the Limerick. What else is there? What else? What's a real Irish thing?
People would try give themselves cool names, and everyone would just laugh at them and be like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, we're like, not. We're not. It's just not in our
you
culture.
You say
like.
That, but after week one of the XFL, which kind of caught on and is actually really
it's American
entertaining. Well, like people are like, "Go Bellhawks!"
Yeah, because it's funny and American. In Ireland, they just get...
Yeah, they love that stuff, like Battle Hawks. They love that real patriotic sort of...
Over here, it doesn't really work.
Yeah. We're like Limerick City.
Oh, no, it's not even that. It's like we name all our fucking all our clubs after saints. So maybe if we named our clubs after random people, I think that'd be really funny.
What if it's random saints? Like, they may or may not exist. Yeah, like St. Lucifer.
I think, yeah, I mean, you could do that if you wanted, like.
St. Lucifer City.
Central Bank Guts, that'd be an interesting
thing. Central Bank Guts, yes.
Someone was talking about that on Twitter today, and they were like, I wonder what happened to all the Central Bank Guts, and I was like, I'm here. I was one of those. And now, ironically, my work is right beside Central Bank.
And there's no Central Bank anymore, that's sad.
Are they bringing it back?
I don't think so. I think they replaced it with like a plaza or something. That's what I thought. Because the bank moved, didn't it?
Like, yeah, like not the bank, but like the spot.
Oh, I'd love they did, but no, I don't think so.
Yeah. And buses don't go by there anymore. That used to be why Central Bank was there. But it's not like the central, like College Green isn't the hub it was. Like, for example, my bus used to be from College Green. Like, every bus used to go to College Green. That's why it became cool to hang out there, because that's where everyone got off. So it was a handy meeting point. There you go. I feel like a fucking dad. Do you know the history of that street? Do you?
No, it is interesting. Yeah, my buses still go there, but it's just because like Talibus is, it's naturally like, it goes there. But did that answer Kento's question? Did we get
for my gods?
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Thanks for the question, Kento. Ah, yes. At Declan Vernon 31. The question. That's the username I wait to read out, and then I'm like, let's go. If you've ever got inducted into the Hall of Fame, who would you like to induct you? For me, it'd be Tony Kelly. He could make any speech class, that's fair. If not him, Corporate Keane would be my second pick. I mean, slightly more questionable, that one, but you know, we'll this is a judgment free. Oh, he's not done. Oh, yeah, my speech.
Yeah, Declan.
I sound like.
It's grand, yeah.
And Ben Gibbon would be my third choice to induct me. He just went with the commentators. I mean, you know,
yeah,
all right.
He literally is, yeah.
That's question one. All right, question one. Who would you have induct you?
I think Tony Kelly is a good show. I think he'd give a good speech, but I think I'd probably pick Justy.
Yeah,
I think I'd go for the
answer.
Yeah.
I have an elite answer, but what?
It would be it would be a roast, not a speech.
Yeah.
That's what you want, though, isn't
it? Yeah. Yeah. Or the Mid Card Mafia.
Troy Mendes. Oh, that's Troy Mendes. That's all.
Troy Mendes.
That's quite. So is it wrestling? Are we talking wrestling?
Anyone.
No, but like, I'm trying to think of the audience and stuff like that.
Oh, I have an answer, and he's not a wrestler.
Bruiser. Bruiser have to do me. He know all the stuff, like, and he'd be good at it. Like, we made Benny as well, that he's all up for the parties. He'd be great at it. Like, he's probably going to be my best man one day, like, whatever. So, like, he's going to do well, so, yeah.
My answer is Declan Byrne. I think Declan could sell. He has sold me on people that I know nothing about. I've never watched like.
Why are you trying to be sold on yourself?
No, because I mean, because I don't belong in the Hall of Fame. So if he's doing, if I'm in the Hall of Fame, somebody needs a good speech to justify my presence there. You know what I mean?
He's gonna do it, Greg Bulger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think Greg Bulger is better than Messi just because of like all the tweets from Declan. You know what I mean? So I think he can hype up anyone to be like the best of the best. So I'm going to go with Declan as my speech person.
It's a solid show. I like it. The only thing is Declan's, rather than eloquence, Declan's quality is repetition. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no,
Declan
will, that's what I think.
Bring
what
out
I think.
To do with anything. So Declan needs something to work with. So it's like, what did you think of the Oscars last night? Well, I would have thought it would have been better if Greg Bulger had been there.
No, see,
that's
I
how
think...
you can bring it into anything. That's Declan's
no,
skill.
No, I think my speech would be more, it'd be like, right, Declan, just sell me on this, right? Sell everyone on me, right? And it'd be like, Keane is amazing. Kind of like how Terry Thatcher is amazing when he beats this person at this match. Terry Thatcher's really good. Here's 10 reasons why Terry Thatcher and the Shamrock Rovers football team are the greatest things to ever happen. Shout out Leanne Kiernan. It's like, this isn't what I meant. But I'd give him the chance, though, for sure.
I'd like to see JR and Declan Byrne do your Hall of Fame.
Oh, God.
Like, JR is for Declan Byrne to be, like, to bounce off, to give him things. He's like, I remember Oklahoma 1982. I remember Corbin Keane. This, you know what I mean? It'd just be a very interesting combo.
But, yeah, Declan's my pick. Thanks for the question. At Alan Tarr, Saturday afternoon, you've woken up, hungover from the night before. You're staying home all day and watching Netflix. Question is, what's your go-to takeaway?
Always pizza. Always four-star pizza, chicken dippers, wedges, big bottle of Coke. and then a box of Maltesers.
My, like, in the morning, like, I do this, like, so, like, in the morning it'd be McDonald's, and then it builds up, and then I don't eat for the rest of the day, and I have to get hungry again, because, like, then you have to go through the stages of a hangover, and then, like, when I start to come up again, and I start to feel more myself, and I'm like, I'm hungry now, then you're hitting that big Domino's button.
I don't really get takeaway by myself, to be honest, because I don't like talking to people. But if my family are getting it, it'd be Domino's. But I don't eat pizza, so they just get me loads of chicken strips and the cookies.
Coke.
Yeah. So that'd be my ideal scenario, I suppose.
Solid.
At T Kenny 2622, Tony Kenny back at it with another Queen versus Keen. I'll be ready for this one. Are you ready for this one? Oh no, we can't do it.
This is impossible, but I've got a workaround. Go.
Okay, Queen versus Keen for this week. I'm not sure what you're gonna do.
You're
Rick,
not gonna sing, are you?
Rick, pick 7 random wrestling songs and play for 3 seconds. Whoever guesses the song gets the point. If you can't guess with 3 seconds, play until someone gets it. Oh no.
Right, so what I'm going to do, because we can't play it because we don't have the setup.
We're recording on Rick's phone, so.
Yeah. So I'm going to hum a wrestling song.
Okay, go.
For 3 seconds.
Okay? And we just shout it out.
Shout your name first.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah. Oh, I have to think of a song.
Oh, my God.
Hmm. 3 seconds.
I bet.
Okay, I keep going.
I know the song, but I don't know who it is now.
I don't even know what this is.
Just having a bath now. Hulk Hogan?
There you go.
Yeah. Oh my God, how?
Although technically you didn't say your name.
Katie,
so
Hulk Hogan. Katie Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, follow, play by the rules, it wouldn't happen, you know what I mean? Keen, Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
That was real. I can't believe I actually got one for real. Like, yeah. I hope I'll get this one so we can end this.
No, it's first of four.
Oh man. Get Keen, LG Cleary.
Yes.
Yeah, boy. This is hard, because I thought he'd only be doing, like, modern-day WWE, man. Like, Rick's going all out with this. That was really fun. That actually was a better one than I thought. Fuck, that was actually really funny. Thanks, Tony. At Chloe_Lynch, do you have any special token that reminds you of a memorable moment in wrestling for me? My Defiant tickets.
Like gear, like my old gear and stuff like that.
Do you still have that thing?
No. God, no. Burned at the first opportunity. No, when I got good gear, I still had that. Okay. I got my boots, Bruiser robbed them on me. you won't admit it, but you did. I had my old gear, so that'd be that, I guess. I didn't get much merch or anything like that.
I have a beer can from Stone Cold Steve Austin that he gave me.
Oh yeah, I'm saying this.
When I went to the outdoor RDS show and he was like pounding beers and I took the can of Coors Light home.
Deadly.
I've tickets from all the shows I went to. I have a TNA ticket signed by Jeremy Borash.
Oh nice. Really?
It's gonna be worth something someday.
Really specific, but alright.
Yeah, I think he might be the only one out selling tickets. I have a Royal Rumble DVD signed by John Cena. I have a calendar signed by Tori Wilson. I actually have all the Shield autographs as well, which is nice. Mad. Me and LJ Cleary went to meet the Shield like 8 years ago.
Nice.
That's kind of my little bits of memorabilia.
I've won actually from Low Blows, and it's from just because of where we're sitting today. So when the stuff happened with Woolshed where we couldn't do that anymore, and like this is just like it means something to me because it was like a really stressful time in my life, and then we ended up getting buskers the next week because everyone was wondering where to be and stuff like that, and we were working behind the scenes like every day really hard, like so we knew something was coming, and then like this just all worked out organically. So we ended up going down to visit them downstairs. They were on the Super Bowl night, and whenever they came, like, we went in and we had a look around and we're like, yes, this is actually better than what, like, we had before. This is amazing. But we arrived at our tables because, like, they wanted us to come in as well. So they gave us kind of, like, nice treatment and stuff like that. They had a table booked for us and all. They had, like, reserved low blows printed off, like, loads of the little panels and stuff. I'm like, they know what they're doing. This is really good. But the way we did the announcement and the way we announced it was we took a picture of me with the reserved for low blows sign and, like, Bushka's on the ball at the end of it. And, like, we didn't announce that it was just, like, we found a new venue and boom. And it got a huge reaction online. Stuff I kept the reserve sign because I was like, that's like symbolic of like one of the most stressful, mental, crazy, but like in hindsight, fun weeks in my life. So I've loads of stuff from Low Blows. I've loads of stuff. Like, I'm probably gonna get a Low Blows at one day and stuff like that.
Well, that's not from a wrestling show, so it doesn't count. that's actually really cool. But mine, I don't know, like. There's probably loads I just can't think of off the top of my head, but like an OTT keyring, I'm pretty sure I still have. It's fucking meldy at this stage, but it was from WrestleCon when we all got free shit for OTT WrestleCon when Katie Harvey robbed Melina.
I won that match.
Yeah, I know, you robbed Melina, so I just said.
No, okay. I just want to point out, it's not often I get to say that I won that match.
Yeah, you beat Melina because, you know, you robbed her, but whatever. It's fine, kill, whatever. That was amazing, man. That like, 2016 OTT. That's gonna stick with me forever. You know, I mean, Tivoli OTT, there's so many good shows, like fucking like Ryan Smile and Marty Skrull, I think, main evented that one. It was like their rematch, and oh man, it was so good. It was like Ryan Smile, Chris Hero as well. Oh, fucking so good. Thinking back at all this, like, yeah, like OTT, like I'm gonna be that cunt, like the old man who's like, I remember the Tivoli days.
Yeah. X-Pac was on that show.
He was. That was X-Pac and Abyss. Those were the imports.
Abyss and Logan.
Abyss for Declan's fucking dream. Logan Bryce got choked on through a table, if I remember correctly. Random shit, but cool at the same time. And yeah, so that every time I see the keyring, I think of that.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that, Chloe.
That was a nice question.
At Nolanoid 4000, who's your pick to face star at Scrapmania?
Like the Katie. Only...
Me?
Yeah. No, it's not. That's not a pick.
The only money match I can think of is Moxley, but it doesn't make sense with the story that he's put out this week about Jeff Cobb. Like, if what he said about Jeff Cobb, which is really good, like, look, more people have David Starr on Twitter than listen to this, but if you haven't seen that and you're interested, like, go check out, like, the note he released about why he's not giving Jeff Cobb a title shot, because it's like, you're just an import, you're coming in, getting an OTT payday, I respect what you've done, but you haven't earned this, so the OTT title will not be on the line. So it doesn't make sense for him to then go, yeah, it seems legit that Moxie should get a title shot, but also... that's the star that they have. It's the money match. It's like there's something there. It's also an awkward booking scenario, so I don't know. But I don't. We're kind of having a chat about this beforehand. I
said my dream opponent was Be Cool.
Yes.
That's what I want.
I want to see Be Cool. Oh, by the way, my pick for Scrapmania, I assume is Paddy M. I assume that's where they're going. But as far as like what I want, I would love, this is more not really for Scrapper, I suppose, not really answering your question, but I'd love, as someone said on Twitter, a Star versus Kingston feud with, I don't know if Sean Ryan's still around, but that lad who did the Star stuff recently, Jeff Doyle, the other crooked gentleman.
Yes, he's very good.
Still way above, you know, like wrestling video, yeah, package quality, you know what I mean? So imagine Star versus Kingston, a feud with that behind it.
Yeah.
That'd be ridiculous. I'd love that. I'd love Star Be Cool. Yeah, that's a fucking huge one. I want to see Star Walter. I want to see Star beat Walter.
Yeah.
That's something I want to see that happen in OTT ring.
We won't get it.
I disagree. I think we will get it.
No, we won't.
I think
as NXT UK champion and then main event pay per views and stuff. Yeah. It's gotten too big in WWE to get it. We talk about the idea that I had for, like, it probably won't happen, but whatever. Like, I want to see B against Joe on the show. Like, but, like, it's a number one contenders match because B's thing is he wants a title match. But what if he won a briefcase or something? Star fights Paddy M. Okay, people will probably be like, in the stadium, that's a weird title match, whatever. Fair enough. And that, like, I hear it. I can see that reaction already. But what if Star beats Paddy M? Then afterwards he goes to do the speedball thing on him where he's shaking his hand but goes for a clothesline. Paddy M ducks it. Paddy M takes him down. Paddy M hits a sent on off the top rope. Then B's music hits. B comes out with a briefcase, pins Starr in the ring, Beeb's the new champion. And then, like, Starr can win it back at the Hangover.
Exactly, yeah.
He can win it back the next night, but oh my god, that reaction would be an actual dream. If we're going to do Starr against an Irish person, I'd like to see Terry Thatcher. Like, Scotty is a big match down the line. I don't know if we're there yet. Like, if you're going to do it, that needs more build.
Also, it happened recently.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, for the belt, Scotty is the new Jordan. Scotty representing Jordan. And, like, it's evolved that it's a new match. Jordan Starr happened, like, three different times. But, like, I want to see Terry Thatcher against Starr. I think that's really good. I think it'd be really interesting to see how the crowd would react if they'd turn on him. Like, it'd be like the LJ Cleary match.
Do you know what? I want to see LJ get another shot. But I want to see him built as a solo star.
Yeah.
I think that'd be whopper.
I'd have loved, like, when I saw LJ going for it at Contenders, I was like, I'd be okay with this being a stadium match. Like, I'd be okay if this was the Scrapper main, because they didn't announce Moxley end. So, like, it was like, what are they going to do? And I was like, this could work with a bit of build behind it, like. But maybe we'll come back to it at a later date, like.
Long term, I want Raven Creed to come back and face David Starr. Again, for the same as Eddie Kingston versus David Starr, and same that it'd be like the promos and the video packages would be fucking unreal.
Yeah, that's something outside the box. Yeah,
that's what I'd love to see. I agree with all the suggestions. I think there's so many possibilities. That's what's
I've
really
seen
exciting.
People suggest Martina versus David Starr as well.
Yeah,
and that's very interesting because he wants it to be an OTT person.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And there you go. Like that's interesting. Thanks for the question, Jonathan. At Owen _ Davis 1, with the reveal of the Mania 37 location and logo, what's the best pay-per-view logo? Oh, pay-per-view. Fuck, I read that as Mania. So my answer was Mania 21, 23, because I have an answer. I can tie 23 to anything because it's my Mania. Everyone has their own Mania, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then WrestleMania 2000, I think it's a pretty nice logo.
Yeah, actually, that's a solid show.
I do not remember logos.
All the new ones are the same, so that's kind of like, it's something that's gone now, like.
A lot of the ECW ones were very on brand. Yeah. I like the old ECW logos just because you got it as soon as you saw the logo.
Yeah, the barbed wire.
From a marketing standpoint, they were very strong. Just in that it's like, it's gritty, it's not like over the top, it's not big like WrestleMania, do you know what I mean? Like mine is framed because we had Jade working for us, and now we have Simon from Canvas Treads working for us, and they're great artists. So like I like a lot of the low stuff that they've done over the past few years because it's reimagined like current logos. Now I almost see the current logos as passe, and how can we reimagine them? You know what I mean? So WrestleMania 17 will always have a place. As well, because it's X7, it's iconic in my head, because just
yeah,
that
I
weird.
Yeah, I actually do remember that one.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. The X7 just makes me think for a second.
Yeah.
WrestleMania in itself is an iconic logo, because I used to draw that all the time when I was a kid. Just copybooks, the back of copybooks, the WrestleMania logo for no reason. Like, yeah. Raw's War is an iconic logo, and the original SmackDown one as well. I know they're not pay-per-views, but yeah, if we're talking good logos, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Thanks for the question, Owen. At Stagmore 13, now that the election is over and Mammy, Daddy and Baby Brother can stop fighting, who will be the next Taoiseach, and why is it David Starr? It's not David Starr. I am not on this David Starr. I think he's the perfect champion. There's so many possibilities. I love that he's OT champion and I love him as a wrestler, but I'm not in that. I don't feel like I'm one of the Devlin Doyle,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
we're a Devlin show.
And when he's fighting LJ, I'm like, I'm on team LJ and stuff. Now I'll be cheering him against Cobb. I think he's fully justified in what he's saying about Cobb not getting a title shot. So I want him to win most of his matches, but I just can't show it. I can't feel it. I can't express it. So he's not my Taoiseach. My Taoiseach is I'm going to say Mr. Charlie.
Imagine.
I'm going to say unknown, because I don't know who it is.
Nobody from wrestling would ever be Taoiseach. Nobody, like, I don't think wrestling has such a unique appeal. Like, David Starr even would be the best positioned, because he gets the political side, the manipulating people side. Wrestling is so niche. Like, people, like, normal people, like, the mainstream, like, see wrestling, they're like, that's weird. Who's that weird man with the mustache? That's why, like, we get it. We're in it. Like,
but I think Callum Black would be a cool Taoiseach.
Callum Black. It's undeniable.
There you go. Undeniable, you know what I mean? So I'll be up for that.
Who's your Taoiseach?
From wrestling?
Whoever you
Big
want.
Big Rob.
I wouldn't let any of them in charge.
Oh, okay, fine.
You want it all for yourself.
I'd like to be Taoiseach.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you like to be Taoiseach?
Yeah.
I mean, you did get a lot of votes there in the polls, so it's looking like in fairness.
What would your what would your campaign slogan be?
Also be some proper cheesy watch this.
Yeah, I know, I was like already like toning it down in my head.
Oh, caring about everyone or something.
That's not cheesy, okay? That's the way forward.
No, I mean the mindset, which is, I know you're gonna have like a proper like
what's
slogan.
Your brand? Here, we have to go over this, we're not leaving this. So what's your brand? What's your like message? Like in general, like we're now thinking of a catchy slogan, we'll come up with a catchy slogan later, we'll just brainstorm on air.
Can't we all just be nice to each other?
Of course that's it.
Come Katie Harvey number one, someone think of the children. Vote Katie Harvey, I'd like to see a manager.
Yeah.
So Katie Harvey's our T-shirt then. Cool.
There you go.
Answer the question, Chris.
Oh, you got my vote. There you go. That answers the rest.
You don't have mine, but whatever.
Micheál Martin's going to be T-shirt, by the way, and it sucks.
What?
Micheál Martin's going to be T-shirt.
How?
So Rick's going to be T-shirt.
He's got more seats.
I'm not getting into politics. At Simpsons WWE, do you now feel uncomfortable sitting beside Rick since he voted for Fine Gael?
Yeah.
Yes. At Joe Stodge. What embarrassing fashion items did you once own and wear with pride in your youth? Oh, I have a deadly answer for this. I had one of these bad boys. I thought I was edgy as fuck, and the picture is basically of a shirt with like blue flames on it. I thought it was cool. But what's your
Mine's a flame related one as well. I worked in the jean scene. Like, I'm not like.
Oh my god, the jean scene!
Yeah.
Where everyone used to get their Petra jeans and their chains.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I've so many like bad fashion things from the past. Like, oh my god. I used to think that I could dress. Like, I used to think I was fashionable, but I was not. You know what I mean?
Excellent.
Like, I used to take unnecessary risks all the time. I remember I started going out and like wearing a belt or wearing a tie as my belt when I was like in my 20s.
Did that as well, yep.
Mine was for creepy reasons. Sadly,
what?
Sadly, it worked. No, not for creepy reasons. I'm only messing. I mean it in terms of like creeping that kind of way, like rather than being creepy.
That's not making it much better.
No, you can't edit this podcast. Just lives.
Just one take. No, but what was it? I thought like when I was going out with the lads and like we're going on the pool and it was like watch like and it did work to be fair. It's like watch there'll be girls that'd be interested in you and they'll start pulling on the tie and like it worked every time because they're like oh I'm gonna take your pants down and stuff and it sadly did happen. Decent hit, right? Now I look back and think.
Hiccup.
Now I look. I didn't say that. I didn't say it. I just left it there and it happened.
Tell me the women of Ireland saw a tattered tie.
Why are you assuming it's tattered? I'm not a hobo. It was a nice tie.
Have a woman pull at your tie. Like
they changed ties. Like I didn't wear one tie.
You had a variety of pulling ties.
No, I just had ties because it wore seemed to work. There wasn't pulling ties. They were like, I didn't do anything, right? I just wore, they had the idea independent.
But the implication was.
Because of the implication.
Joe has given Katie a shovel and she's handed to Rick, and Rick is just digging.
This is about cringy stuff. I'll own it. I'm saying it was cringy. I used to always wear this top as well. Like I found out that like people who are now like some of my best mates, for the first like 6 months they knew me, their girls like they rip into me. If I ever wear it bad, like you'll see, like if I put up a picture on Insta and like they don't think it's fashionable, like this is why I've gotten better at dressing myself, just mortification reasons. They will in the comments let all of my friends know they hate it. I used to wear a top out and like it cringes me how often I wore it now that I noticed like it and it had like little like ties at the top. Do you know like a pirate would have?
No.
It was a woolen top, but it was like a normal woolen top. It was fashionable for a while. It was in for a while. It wasn't all the way down like.
It sounds very boy band.
No, it was. It was like it's cringy stuff that I wore. But they used to always be like, "Ooh, crisscross." That was their nickname for me for like the first 6 months of knowing me.
Did you know that that was your nickname?
No, eventually they're like, "Yeah, I stopped wearing it." They're like, "What was the story with that?" And I was like, "Oh, that's fair enough."
I was a full blown goth growing up, so like I thought I was fashionable for a goth. I was a scene kid, you know,
yeah.
Wearing all my all black and my cut up band t-shirt. I dress the same now. I dress very similar now. Parachute pants, knee high socks, Adidas shells, jumpers with shirt collars, yeah. But no shirt. You know, yeah, you know, it's just the collars sewed into the jumper.
You would absolutely wear like a tuxedo today or something.
Oh yeah, 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 absolutely, yeah.
If it's ironic, it's being worn.
Yeah.
Right. My answer, right? When I was 8 or 9, I used to go to Spain with my family, right? And you know the markets. I used to get these gas fucking football jerseys. Yeah. I was like, yeah, boy. I didn't notice. I didn't even think, oh, this is a complete fucking ripoff. I'm like, this is deadly. €2 would get you, like, I remember, like, I had this really shit, like, Manchester United kit, right? But it was like, the AIG sponsor was about 10 times the size of the actual AIG sponsor. And the crest was the exact same crest, but instead of United, it said Manchester Football. It's like proper bootleg stuff. It was so, so good. I get them every year. I love it. I might get them again now that you just reminded me.
I had a Fiorentina jersey, and like I thought it was identical. Like, I thought my dad's real, like, mad for pinching a penny or something like that. So he'd, like, turn around and be like, exact same. So, and I'd be like, grand. And it was only later when I pulled it out, when I'm moving out at home and I'm clearing out all the old clothes, that I realised Nintendo were the sponsors at the time. Not on this jersey, Nintendo were the sponsors.
Amazing. I also got wrestling merch when I was over there. But like, sure, it's that like, would have like one really bad bootleg design on the front and the exact same on the back in black and white. Still have one that I wear, actually a Rey Mysterio one that my mom got me last year.
Always Rey Mysterio or Batista.
Yeah. Oh man, I used to always get Mysterio and Batista stuff. That, oh, it was so good.
Brilliant.
Thanks for the question, Joe.
That was very good.
I just put my phone in my pocket because I'm dumb. So we're gonna have to wait. Oh no, here we go. Next question. At Brendan K12, in light of WrestleMania 37 announced for Hollywood, which WWE superstars would be in movies for ads?
Like Batista, you talking to me, all that. Yeah. Oh, I hope they do that again. That was really good.
That was really funny. Yeah. Like, I remember popping big time. I actually have a Batista t-shirt that says, "Are you talking to me?" Nice. That I still wear training.
Yeah, of course I am. How did we not realize?
The Big Show part of that killed me when I was younger. I remember watching that on the DVD and it was like, "Are you?" And like the mic drops on his head. He's just like, "What you fucking?"
Are you? And then it rips.
Yeah. And then the last thing is like, "Are you WrestleMania?"
What other ones was there? There was Pulp Fiction. That was Eddie and Booker T.
Yes, yeah.
There was
Undertaker as Clint Eastwood.
That's amazing casting, by the way.
Yeah.
Like Eddie as well with the mullet. Like they thought outside the box for that. That was genius.
There was Forrest Gump. Who was in the Forrest Gump one? Eugene, was it?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, could have been.
There was a few of them. Oh, Basic Instinct with Stacey Keibler. I remember that was one as well.
Yeah.
And there was three lads as a Christian being the creep interviewing her.
Because he's doing his creepy little bastard thing. Right, so like who do we have today? And now we can put in movies.
I just thought about the Braveheart one as well, with Ric Flair and Triple H. That was great.
Who do we have? Who's around today? So Daniel Bryan. You could put Daniel Bryan in something woke, something like environmentally friendly or something like that, or you can be completely out of body. Yes, is there any yeses? I don't know why I'm just focusing on Daniel Bryan. CWWE robbed their like poster idea, by the way.
Yeah,
the Irishman pass is 10%, you dicks.
I could see someone doing like Harley Quinn,
Alexa.
Yeah,
she did already, but that'd be perfect. Yeah, like, yeah, so movies, think of big movies these days. Like Avengers. Well, Jesus, there's about 15 there. So this, we do this for our posters on. This is what our posters are. Yeah, just go back and look at all our old posters, and that's what we think. That's our answers to this question.
Scott_Aspel, what's the wrestling gear or gear choices that no matter who's wearing it, it just doesn't look good to you?
Oh, so like he's talking about stuff like knee pads. He gave an example later of like wrestlers wearing or no knee pads. Yeah, I get that. I just feel anxious the entire time that I'm like, they're gonna fuck up their knees. Pads are there for a reason. Like,
I think Cassius Ono's gear won't look good on anyone. The kind of basketball kit, and
doesn't
then like
look good on him.
And then yeah, that's what I mean. And then the trunks, I'm like, it's just not.
Same
a good
with
mix.
Shorty G.
But that's ironic. That's meant to be bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't like white trunks because it makes me, it looks like nappies. I remember Alberto Del Rio wearing white trunks, and I was like, no.
And if it goes wrong, it goes very wrong.
Yeah.
If you do, if you share it, like, you're a funk. Like,
I remember Maria Menounos, when she was on WrestleMania, had a white catsuit on, and obviously, I think she took, like, I think she went up powerbomb position with like Beth Phoenix or someone, but clearly her makeup or her fake tan rubbed off all over her arse. Oh, no. Do you remember that?
Oh no, I don't. Oh,
and everyone thought she'd shit herself at WrestleMania.
Oh no, and it's a celebrity appearance.
Yeah. But it was just makeup, and every girl in the crowd straight would have been like, fake tan, that's hard to get out. But like, I just remember like one lad on Facebook being like, what the fuck just happened?
Amazing. Any bad gear?
No, it's Cassie Sonos, really.
Yeah.
At Irish Slam Dan, who was the person you were 5 years ago, and how different are they from the person you're going to be in another 5 years?
It's deep.
It is fucking deep. And
27. What WrestleMania was it? Yeah. WrestleMania 30. I just started Low Blows. It was very. I didn't give a fuck about who I pissed off. Or
5 years ago.
Yeah.
You just started Low Blows 5 years ago.
No, wait. What WrestleMania are we on this year? 36, is
I
it?
Can't count it because I took out the numbers.
Yeah, it's 36, I think it is.
Yeah.
So that's 31. We were in Low Blows. It's very cocky. I'm more, slightly more grown up. That's the thing, like, when you get older as well, you can't, like, the jumps. Like, 5 years from now, you answering this question would be a completely different person.
Mm.
Like, largely the same. Like, the core of your personality would be the same, where you're just, like, so much more will happen. But, like, for me, it's like I'm the same person, I'm just more grown up, if that makes sense. Now I like to get the last bus home on a night out, and I see that as an achievement. If I've had a good night and I get the last bus home, it's the main difference. I like used to push myself to go out and be really social and stuff like that. Now I see the value in like getting to play FIFA for a night. I'm just a more grown up, a boring person, my old self, I guess.
Yeah.
You 5 years ago?
I don't know, like, I still don't feel like an adult. I do adult things, like pay bills and, like, run a house, but I feel like I'm kind of faking it or messing. You know what I kind
of mean? Part of it, though.
Yeah.
Like, part of it is going, oh, because, like, you look up, when you're a kid, you look up to teachers and, like, parents.
Yeah.
You're like, they know everything.
Yeah.
And an adult is being like, oh, you don't know shit. You're just winging it.
Yeah, everyone's been winging it all along.
I'm still the same fucking idiot. Yeah. I was.
My dad asked me about my pension the other day, and I went, my what? Excuse me? Like, I don't know. Yeah.
I got healthcare for the first time ever today.
Oh.
Scary. Whole new world.
That's a grown-up thing.
Yeah, I know. It's very weird.
Yeah, I suppose I do feel slightly more grown-up.
5 years ago, he was like, I did a fart and I was gas. And this is a very different person.
No.
So you were like, what, 16?
Yeah.
So before your leaving cert, what year would you be? Fifth year?
No, I was in TY.
TY?
It's a bit dark. I was just depressed. Like, it's not great. I don't like looking back on it.
Okay.
But 5 years from now, you can't predict. Yeah. You just can't predict.
Especially, like, yeah, like, you're at the edge where, like, you're going to be.
There's no point in even saying, oh, I'll be this or I'll be that. You don't even know what
you're doing. I don't know if I've said it to you, but I've said it to a couple of people, because I always get asked about you anytime I'm talking to people. But I'm like, you're going to be one of those people who, like, if I don't see you for, like, 10 years, you're going to be, like, just a really, like, confident, same person, but just a really, like, confident version of the same. You're going to be just really like, hey guys, how are you? What's up? You see it all the time in wrestling, though, do you know what I mean? Where people, like, come into it and, like, they're like quiet, and like the things you joke about, like with yourself, like kind of your so-called social tics and stuff like that, but like, and then wrestling just gives them that confidence and validation, and then they're just like, they grow out and then they become like Liam Royal or something. And it's like,
I'm gonna be a high school jock and bump into him, but like, yo, Rick, what's up, dude? And we like giving you like a headlock and all, like, yeah.
I'm the dog and me, like, yeah, on my shoulder.
Yeah, like Jack, like, oh, I remember you used to do that podcast together.
And then I'll take his bag, unzip it, let all the onion rings fall out, and he's like, we know the real you.
Hey,
I'm still the same geek I was. Yeah, you're gonna be Liam Royal, except the exact same personality.
Thanks for the question, Dan. At Ender the Great. After Ricochet's Twitter phone, the Ricochet Twitter phone a couple of weeks ago. Sorry, Rick. What's the weirdest interaction one of your tweets has had? Mine is Lita botching reading one of mine on a SmackDown pre-show once. I hope this isn't one of those cases, because I know, like, when people get asked, I know this is the same question, but it's like, what wrestlers have you blocked on Twitter? As in, have you blocked, not have You blocked.
Have blocked you.
They blocked you. Thank you. It's always the people answering the question always give real wanker answers. Like, I called Hulk Hogan Terry Bollea and told him he was a shit wrestler, and he blocked me. It's like, yeah, you're kind of the wanker there. I mean, not okay. Hulk Hogan's a bad example because, like,
yeah,
you know, whatever. But like, whoever, you know what I mean? It's always like, oh, this person blocked me because I antagonized them, and you know. But I don't really have any weird interactions. I don't think I probably do, but I just can't think of any. What about you?
On social media.
Social media wise,
I once tweeted about Biggie's arse and he vanity searched and found it.
Oh no.
What did he say?
I think it was about, remember he used to wear the short gear? Yes. And I think I tweeted about his arse and the short gear.
Oh, God.
And I think it was something like, let's start a Biggie arse cheek appreciation club or something like that. And he liked it and then tweeted back to me, cool, but I get a cut of any of the subs. And I was like, oh God.
He'd be cool though, yeah. I mean, he'd be like someone you wouldn't really mind finding that sort of shit.
Mine was the one probably a few months ago where, like, I think all of Ireland saw it and I nearly got sued for talking about two high profile radio personalities.
Oh, yeah.
To talk in like Irish sporting personality lingo. That was it, because it was like it went literally everywhere. It's the weirdest ones that got viral. But yeah, no, that would be for me. I mean, you have to have had some.
I've no weird interactions, but my last interaction was Alison Kay retweeted my video saying "lemfow" and then several skull emojis, which suggests that she'd like the video. And you could like the video too if you watch it.
Yeah.
I asked 100 people if they could take Alison Kay in a fight. It's on YouTube. It's on whatever. Yeah, it's on YouTube, and you can watch it right now at Corporate Keen.
Corporation.
Bye.
Wait, no, we have to plug.
No.
There's an NLW show this week.
Oh, fuck it. All right, go on.
Don't sleep on NLW. That's a really good show.
It's so many. How am I meant to keep all the dates? There's so many
really
shows.
Different. This Sunday, Mo Theater. It's an afternoon show as well. It is really good. Like, we know a few people went down after hearing it plugged on the show last time. Had a really good time. I think they're all going back as well. So I can't wait. It is a really good show. It's really different. Get to see wrestlers. Completely different to how you see them usually. I'm going to be hosting it. Don't let that put you off, though. It's going to be okay. Katie, you've got a weekend off, a rare one.
Yeah, but I'm going to go watch some wrestling. I'm going to go watch OTT and NLW.
There we go. All right, cool. Now.
Fight.